Well, ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas. It is such a wonderful thing to see all of you here again this evening, and as we anticipate for one more night the coming of the Savior. And as we do so, we want to remember that the reason that this Jesus came, the reason that he, just think what he did here. He left the perfect place of heaven. Now, we have somebody in the back who just is visiting us from Dallas, and he's telling us that it's really cold down there, all the way down to like 20. Yeah, I know, it's rough, you know. But imagine if you were leaving a perfect place and coming here. You know, and this is what Jesus did. He didn't just come to earth and like live in a really nice place in earth. He was born poor and laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals, and he did this because he loves us. He did this because of his love for us and the Father's plan for our salvation that required him to come and to live and to teach us and to die, to rise again, and now he's in glory. And, you know, this is that kind of double vision that we have during this season of Advent, where we are anticipating the celebration of his first coming, but then we're still also anticipating his second coming when he sets everything right and makes it so that we are back to where we began with a perfect relationship with him. And so as we begin our service tonight, let's remember the day that we were brought into his kingdom, into his family, and through the gift of baptism in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful night, this time when we can gather together, Lord, in a warm place. Also, Lord, though, surrounded by with your love, knowing that your grace surrounds us, your grace is in us, your grace is with us, your grace is lavished upon us, Lord, that as we need the forgiveness of sins that you earned for us, Lord, you give it to us, and you just continue to love and forgive. Lord, I pray that you would be with us tonight. Help us, Lord, to receive this gift of love and forgiveness, Lord, and also to be able to respond with songs of praise and adoration for you. And let us take this message, Lord, with us so that many more can hear. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us sing.
Yeah.
The first reading for tonight is Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And then the Christmas reading for today is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, Merry Christmas! You know, we say that all the time, don't we? And sometimes you have to stop and think about what we mean when we say these things that we just say all the time. And you know, the question is, well, what do we mean when we say Merry Christmas? You know, some people say Happy Christmas. I've heard that, especially our British friends. I think that's a big thing with them. And that kind of is the same thing as Merry Christmas. It's just a little bit more, you know, common language. We kind of understand a little bit more. But what exactly are we saying when we say Happy Christmas? Because happiness is one of those strange things that, you know, you have it until somebody tells you you shouldn't, you know? Like, you know, I have a good car, I get in it, it turns on, it runs, it takes me where I want to go, but then I watch TV and I see a better car. And then I want that. Because, after all, now I'm not happy anymore, right? And so the thing is that, you know, I wonder about this Merry Christmas thing that we talk about. And so I'm looking at the characters in the reading for today, and I'm kind of thinking about, you know, which ones should be Merry. And first of all, we start with Caesar Augustus. Well, if anybody should be Merry, he should. You know, I mean, on the very first Christmas, he was the emperor of the world. It's kind of a good title, don't you think? You know, I mean, it's like he had all this power and all this authority, and it's just kind of an amazing thing. And I thought, you know, that guy should be pretty happy. And then what about the next guy? Let's see here. We have Quirinius. Most people can't even say his name, but that's okay. It's Quirinius, the governor of Syria. And if you're not going to be the emperor, then the next best thing is being a governor of a province in the Roman Empire. I mean, that's a pretty good job too. Still have lots of power, lots of wealth, lots of influence. You get a very comfortable life. This is a good thing. And then we start sliding really quickly because now all of a sudden we're going downhill fast. We have Joseph. And so should Joseph have been very merry on that very first Christmas? Well, let's see. We got to do Joseph and Mary together, I suppose. We have Joseph and Mary. Mary is this, girl that got visited by the angel and told you're going to get pregnant. And I know you're not married and you've never been with a man, but you're going to get pregnant. And it's going to be really difficult to explain to the neighbors. But don't worry about it. Everything is going to be okay. And then, so she's dealing with that whole embarrassment. And how do you explain that? And Joseph was going to divorce her quietly and, put her away to kind of because he wasn't sure what was all going on, until an angel appears to him in a dream and says, don't worry, the baby of her is from the Holy Spirit, it's from God. Marry her, take her to be your wife, it'll all be good. And so Joseph says, okay, I guess that's what I'm going to do. And so now Joseph is kind of sharing the shame of Mary, because now it looks like it's his kid and he's kind of, it's kind of awkward. And then now we see the power of Caesar, because Caesar decides that this is the time to have a census. And so he basically signs a piece of paper, and all of the people in the entire Roman world need to be counted in an orderly way, which for Joseph and Mary means that while she is extraordinarily pregnant, they are going to have to travel from the town they live in Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem, so that they can be counted in an orderly way, because he is from the line of David, which in David is, in Bethlehem is David's town. So there it is. So today that's not such a big deal. It's a little bit more than an hour's drive from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But back then, transportation, of course, wasn't as efficient, wasn't as easy. We don't even know if Mary had that fabled donkey that she was supposed to have ridden. That's not really scriptural. We don't really know. But one way or the other, it was a rough journey. And then they get there and they don't have a room. And then this extreme, this uncomfortable journey must have done something to bring on labor, because immediately she has her child. And she has to have the child in a stable, possibly a cave. Merry Christmas! Wow, that's kind of rough, And you think that's bad, right? I mean, Mary and Joseph, they're having a rough time of life, but generally their life is pretty stable. They're from Nazareth. It's a very, it's a town that is known for its, for being really good theologically and was honoring God. And they were surrounded with good neighbors, good people. They come from a good place. The next people mentioned in the text are the shepherds. Now these guys are, the word for them in those days, translated literally, is people of the dirt. All right? Yeah, scuzzy, bottom feeders, gross, I mean, these are the people who had no dignity. Everybody looked down on them. It's one of those things when the poor and the beggars can look down on somebody, it's kind of nice. You got to have somebody to look down on, right? And then that was the shepherds. And the shepherds were the people who, they because of how they lived their life out in the fields all the time taking care of sheep, they really had a hard time following the laws of the people. Showing up at synagogue on Saturday was a really rough thing to do, because who's going to watch the sheep? And, showing up and doing the sacrifices and stuff is a kind of a rough thing, because sheep are money. You don't just burn your money. There's a whole lot of problems with being a shepherd. But then the shepherds brought some of it on themselves too, because they said that shepherds had a little difficulty with the distinction between mine and thine. Which means that when the shepherds came to town, things went missing. And so they didn't really have a very good reputation. And in fact, shepherds were so disrespected, they weren't allowed to serve as witnesses in court. Because who'd believe a shepherd, right? Well, here's the next thing. The shepherds that we're talking about in today's text aren't just shepherds, they're third shift shepherds. All right? They're the shepherds that aren't even respected by the other shepherds. All right, they're the shepherds that are like going, you can stay up all night, I'm going to bed, you know, that kind of a thing. And so these shepherds are the low of the low of the low of the low of the low. And they're out there in the middle of the night. And I ask you this, who's got the Merry Christmas? Isn't that a weird thing to think about? You know, we have a God of unbelievable reversals, a God that doesn't see things the way we see it, a God that doesn't honor and respect the things that we honor and respect. We have a God who sees things completely differently, and he doesn't, it's not even just that he sees things differently. What it is that he wants to use the people who are willing to be used, the people who are humble enough to be used, the people who are willing to lay aside their own expectations, desires, and dreams to set apart those things for his purposes. We talked about Mary just a few weeks ago. Do you think she didn't have ideas and dreams about her life? I mean, she was a young Hebrew girl about to get married. And all of a sudden, Gabriel shows up and says, guess what? Things are going to be different. Things are not going to be the way you think they're going to be. And Mary, you know what her answer was? Use me however you want. Isn't that crazy? You know, I mean, Zechariah, a priest, an adult, a seasoned man of God, gets a message from God, and he didn't believe it. He had to get proof, and the angel said, fine, proof is you can't talk until it happens. Ha, there's proof. But Mary, she just took it. Joseph, he just took it. And God did some pretty crazy stuff through those two. And then we have the shepherds, the third shift shepherds, the ones out in the field, the ones disrespected. And who does God send to them? I mean, it's kind of obligatory. God's going to have to send messengers, somebody, to announce the birth of his son in this world, right? And who would you send it to? Well, if you're looking at the world as humans, you're going to send them to princes, to the emperor, to somebody important, right? God sent the angels to shepherds. He announced the birth of the long-awaited Messiah, the one who had been promised by God all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and then through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Isaiah, Malachi, and now finally he comes. And the shepherds had quite an experience because, I mean, let's face it, they were just sitting out there minding their own business. Maybe not on their own property. They did that too. But they were out there minding their own business. And all of a sudden, the angels appeared to them. And the Bible says, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So if you're kind of wondering what their experience was like, it terrified them. The glory of God suddenly appearing in the middle of the night, that's something. And the angels tell them, don't be afraid. I got good news of great joy for all people. For tonight a Savior is born to you. The Messiah has come. The Messiah that Israel has been praying for millennia, has come. He is here. And you, third shift shepherds, can go visit him right now. So who do you identify with in the story? Are you a third shift shepherd? You know, I mean, do you feel like you're not part of the story at all? Well, let me tell you what, you are. The message announced to the angels was that this was be good news for all people. And all is a very inclusive word, and you are part of it. This message of Jesus' birth is even good news to you because it is through this birth that you are saved. It is through this birth that God came into this world, took on flesh so that he could live among us. You know, I mean, God had the hardest time trying to teach his people. At the bottom of Mount Sinai, right after the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God decided he would just talk to his people. And he did it, and he spoke, and when he spoke to his people, what he spoke was the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. And it freaked the children of Israel out so much that they went to Moses and said, please don't ever let that happen again. You go talk to God. Come back and tell us what God said. We will listen. Don't ever let him talk to us again. It was horrifying, terrifying, scary. And so God said, okay, fine, then I'll work through prophets. And he taught his people through these prophets. And the people listened sometimes, but not often. And so finally God did something absolutely crazy. He sent his son. God himself came into our world so that he could speak to us as one of us. Teach us who the Father is. Jesus said, you'll know the Father when you know me. If you know me, you know the Father, because the Father is the one that sent me. I and the Father are one. You know, I mean, he's telling them, we get to know God. We get to know how God feels about people. I mean, how does God feel about people? Does God respect the wealthy? Does he respect the powerful? Does he think that powerful people are somehow more valuable than anybody else? No. Who did he spend most of the time with? Tax collectors, sinners, prostitutes. That's who he's hung out with. He was in trouble constantly with the religious leaders of the day because he was always hanging around the wrong people. But Jesus was revealing to us his incredible love. So here's the thing. I don't know what brings you here. I don't know what life you've had. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. But I'll tell you what I do know. God loves you. He loves you profoundly and deeply. He loves you without excuse, without reason. He loves you without end. He loves you. If ever you ask the question, does God still love me after I've done something really horrible, after I feel really bad, after I've failed in a terrible way, the answer is always yes. Always yes. Does God still love me? Yes. You want evidence of God's love? Look at the baby in the manger. God himself come to earth to rescue you. Because the God of creation loves you so much, he came because you needed it. And he fully paid the penalty of your sin. Think about that. This Jesus on the cross took your guilt, put it on himself. And even though he had never once sinned, he died guilty because he was wearing your sin. Fully paid the penalty of that sin, which is death, so that we don't have to suffer. And by faith, we receive the gift. What an amazing thing. What a miracle. A miracle that our God could love us this much. A miracle that our God took flesh. A miracle that he took our shame. A miracle that God chose shepherds to announce this message to be some of the first people to see the miracle of the Savior, and to be some of the first preachers to go out and spread the message of what God has done. So here's the next question. God loves you no matter what, right? What's your job? The God who rescued you, the God who called you to himself, the God who gave you faith, the God who forgives your sins. When we see the miracle of God, what is our response? What was the shepherd's response? To go out and tell everybody. I mean, how could the shepherd see something so amazing and not just spill it all over the place, not just share it with everybody they see? And if we've seen the miracle of God's salvation for ourselves and for others and for all, how can we not share that message? Guys, Christmas time is here. The long-awaited for Savior has arrived. Let's talk about him. Let's speak about him. Don't just wish people a Merry Christmas. Tell them the story that'll make their Christmas truly and completely happy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are amazing. Your plan of salvation, it just doesn't hardly make sense, you know, the idea that you love us so much to send your Son into this world and that, Jesus, you willingly came, that you did all that was necessary so that we could be saved. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be able to receive that message, Lord, that understand the forgiveness, Lord, feel the forgiveness, know the forgiveness, and share that forgiveness, Lord, so that we too can take part in this plan of salvation, even though we're a little better than third shift shepherds. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is time to continue our worship service today. Let's see here. We are going to do it by collecting the offering. And as we are collecting the offering, I do ask that you'd please record your attendance in the folders that you'll find in the pews in front of you there. If you can give me just write down your names and information so that I can know how to get in touch with you. And then as we do that, let us sing some more songs of praise to our God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this celebration of your holy birth, Lord, the day that you became flesh, that you, God Almighty, took on a human body. And it's not just like you moved into a body, Lord. You became human, fully God, fully man, a mystery that we can't understand. But what is so amazing about that, Lord, is what drove you to do something so impossible to our minds, Lord, was your unfailing love, your desire to spend eternity with us. Because, Lord, we were destined for hell. We couldn't be saved, but you weren't okay with that. You made a plan for saving us, and you carried it out. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our families, Lord, as we gather for this holy time. Lord, I pray that you would help us to faithfully, as we gather as family, speak the words of your story, Lord, the story of your birth, the meaning of what it is, that the shocking truth of what you have accomplished. Lord, help us to pass on the faith that you have given us to our children, to help them to learn it deeply and richly and know it so that they will not be easily misled. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, as we continue to live in this really cold time, Lord. But Lord, we pray especially for those who are doing with less and struggling with this cold and struggling with this economy and struggling at this time. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that you would bless them, that you would continue to care for them and surround them with your love. And Lord, please use us to do so. Help us not to be blind to them, Lord, but to see the need that is in this world around us and to be part of the solution. Lord, I pray that you would continue to just bless all those who travel. Continue to help us to be able to get to the places we need to go and back again, and to do it safely. Lord, I pray that as we go, that we would be able to share the message that we have heard, the truth that we know, the story that saves. Thank you, Jesus, for all of this. And we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're heading into another part of our service today. This is the candlelight part of the service. And what I want you to understand is when we have these candles, these lights, they're not just kind of a pretty thing that we hold in our hand. They actually stand for something. And what they stand for is this. You know, has anybody ever read the Gospel in John and the Christmas story in John? You know, it sounds very strange and very different. You know, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word is God. And just all these very theological mumbo-jumbo things that sound very intense. But if you actually slow down and read it, it's incredible, rich, deep theology about what exactly happened on that very first Christmas. And one of the things we learn in that first chapter of John is that John tells us that the Word who became flesh is the light that has come into the world. The light that shines in the darkness. And sometimes the darkness doesn't even recognize it, but that light is still shining. And as we are celebrating this Christmas, let's celebrate that light that came into the world, that light that brings light into our darkness by which we can find our way, because he is the way. So let's sing. Let's light our candles and sing, and let's celebrate that light.
Thank you.
Our Jesus is coming. He has come and he is coming again. It's just astounding to think about. As we go our ways today, let us go forth with worshipful hearts, knowing the miraculous thing that our God has done for us and what God is still doing among us. Receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Final song. You know, when God does enormous things, you expect it to be happening with a bang. You expect it to be something that the whole world would see, but so many times he is so powerful that he can do amazing and powerful things so very quietly. And that's how Jesus came. So let's sing our final song. Friends, what's more to say? Our God is great. He is so good. He has blessed us. And we now have an opportunity to worship him, not just here in the church, but everywhere we go, in everything we do. In everything we do it as if we're doing it for the Lord, because we are. So go in peace and serve him, because he's come for us. Amen. And if anybody wants a balloon, there's a few on the ceiling. If you can get them down, they're all yours. Excellent. You guys have a wonderful Merry Christmas.